Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, have we just witnessed the game of the season already? What a game! What a game, full of incident. 2-2 in the end. Red cards, last minute equalisers. Attack against defence. What a game.
It was a really good game. Yeah, it was a really good game of football. Sometimes those big games can be a disappointment. They sometimes don't quite live up to the hype, do they? And you get this kind of... It's still interesting, but like a game of chess, effectively, yeah, between the two. Not this one. This one was mad. We're up for it. Straight away. Both sides really up for the game. Really good game of football. Really
thoroughly
good.
Enjoyed it as well. But as City fans, if you're a City fan listening or in the chat, let us know how you feel about that Rodri injury. That looked like a bad one. And I think Sky flashed up a stat, actually, about Man City with and without Rodri and their win rate when they play or when they don't, when he doesn't, when he plays and doesn't play. It is significant. They don't tend to lose games when he plays, and when he doesn't, they drop the odd points. So let's hope it's not too bad, right? Because it looked like a bad knee injury.
It did. Well, there was talk of ACLs on the commentary.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know, because it was a little bit of an innocuous one. It was one of those where
off the ball, yeah,
he sort of went down. There was not a lot of contact. It was like, what's happened to you? Are you just, because he's already gone down once, hadn't he, holding his face for the tackle with, was it Havertz, I think.
In like 10 seconds in.
So I think everyone was a bit like, you're just doing that again. And then actually, the longer it went on, everyone was like, oh no, it just seemed to be quite serious. And then, of course, they made the sub. So, yeah, one to watch in terms of how long that injury might be and exactly what it is.
Unbelievable game to finish what was an incredible weekend's worth of football. Home wins for you, home wins for us. So, listen, we are very happy. I think last week, we were both a bit... Certainly, I was very grumpy after Liverpool losing at home to Nottingham Forest. But none of it this week. In fact, even, say it quietly, is Darwin Nunez back? I don't know.
Oh, stop. Right.
Never doubted him.
Stop.
Never doubted him, Darwin Nunez. Yeah.
Utter lies you just told there.
A little tear in his eye when he cried. I'll be honest.
You do have a little tear in your eye when you cry, yes.
Little tear in his eye when he scored. Little tear in his eye when he scored. And I'm not afraid to admit, little tear in my eye when he scored as well. I want to see him do well.
Well, you were at Spurs at the time, weren't you? Well. And I texted you just Darwin and the football emoji. And you were like, oh my God.
One of the great things about the Spurs stadium, we'll obviously talk about Spurs in a bit.
Wi-Fi's great there, isn't it?
You were doing your Shine Moon, what we've got to talk about that as well. Obviously loads to discuss tonight, but I took Max to Spurs.
Unexpectedly, didn't you? Yeah.
Unexpectedly, because your mum, bless her, is not that well, is she? So she couldn't take him. So he and I went. I've got loads to say about Spurs, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it's a lot better than last week, put it that way.
Well, it better, because otherwise we'll be divorced by the end of this one.
Last week, I think I watched last week's video back, and I said to the guys in the Slack, probably best that I don't have an opinion about Spurs going forward. But that said, I am going to share my opinion on Spurs this week, because apart from the first 24 seconds, you were very, very good indeed. And we're going to talk about that in just a bit. Let's say hello to a few people. Let's say hello to John Tyner, Sam, who has just become a member.
Welcome.
On the YouTube, FPL Family YouTube channel. So, John, welcome to the family. Very nice to have you along. Thank you for supporting the channel, mate. Really appreciate it. Scott Schrager is in, another one of our members, the OG. How are we doing, mate? Very nice to see you. Azzy is in, the Smiths 1986. We've got Adam Stevo. He says, divorce, second week running. Hopefully not, Adam. Hopefully not. It was close last week, Adam. I won't lie to you. It was close.
Yeah, because you behaved a bit naughty last week. But
actually, I just had an opinion.
But today you've been a good husband today, so we'll allow
it. I was probably a little bit grumpy. I was not happy.
Your attitude last week was actually very little, my personal opinion, very little about Spurs and very much about Liverpool. You just chose to take it out on my boys for some unknown reason.
Well, I will.
I think that's quite fair.
I had some honest feedback about Spurs last week, and I have some honest feedback about Spurs this week, if you will allow it. I think you will enjoy it more this week than you did last week. Let's just say that.
Okay.
We've got Sean is in. Sean Pirrott, how are you doing, Sean? We've got Webby in. Webby is in like every single Sunday, Webby. Lovely to see you, mate. Lovely to see you. Your new BFF and walking buddy, Nigel the Crab, is here. He says his feet ache. He's having a coffee to stay awake during the live stream.
Simon, bless him. All he wanted was a coffee. The whole way round, he just kept talking about coffee. And But he was like, well, I'm going to get a coffee. As soon as I'm finished, I'm going to get a coffee. I wish there was a place open for coffee. And every time we walked past the Starbucks, he'd be like, oh, it's closed. And I'd be like, I could do with a peach iced tea right now, to be fair.
We're going to talk about your Shine night walk in just a second with Simon. But we're going to say hello to Matthew Knights, who says, game week 5, better than game week 4. Yes, you're absolutely right, Matthew. Aaron Curl, AB, Paul Cook, United BT, Brian Springer, and a whole host of you guys in. Guys, like 350 of you in already.
Oh,
we haven't even started.
Guys.
I haven't even started, but welcome to the live stream. Hit that like if you enjoyed it.
They've just come to see if I'm dead.
They've just come to see, Sam. They've just come to see whether you're going to fall asleep
that
during
might,
this live stream.
Might happen.
And the reason you might fall asleep during this live stream is you spent all of last night, and I mean all of last night, doing the Shine Night Walk with our friend Jenny and our mutual friend Simon as well. Nigel the Crab joined you for most of the walk, if not
all of it.
All of the walk.
Yeah, well, very unexpectedly, I said to Si in the Slack before, let's try and find each other, say hi. And then there was this moment at the beginning where they put us in this pen and they're like making you do a warm-up.
Just you and Simon?
No, everyone that was in our wave. And we didn't even know we were in the same wave as each other. And we're making us do this warm-up. And I'm talking to Jen. And I said something. And I turned around. And there was Simon. And we sort of looked at each other at the same time. And
perfect.
Went, what? Okay, well, we're doing this together then now. So there we go.
26.2 miles. And I'll let you tell the story of it. Because it's actually a little bit longer than that. But listen to this, guys. And I think I'm not even sure this is the final total. You can tell the guys the final total. But over £1,250 raised for Cancer Research UK, which is absolutely a brilliant. Well done to you, well done to Jen, and well done to Simon, the three of you. Absolutely brilliant. To say that you've been achy today and nursing some blisters on your feet is an understatement, isn't it? It's an understatement, but well done to all three of you. Give us the summary. How was it?
It was really hard. It was really hard. I think when we started, and Si will, I'm sure, be saying this in the chat, we had this sort of, it was lovely. The weather was glorious.
It started so well.
The weather was wonderful. It was like the perfect evening for it. Oh my God, a daddy long legs just flew in my face.
Is that a daddy long legs?
Oh.
Ollie Swatkins is back. You see, he's found a bit of form.
Lee, it flew right in my face.
Should I get him? He's quite a big one, isn't he? Should I get rid of him?
Well, if he's going to keep flying.
Oh, he's got, there you go.
Whoa.
He literally took right your face.
For the podcasters, there's a daddy long legs that's got in here and it just flew at me. It's come back, Lee!
Is he back? Right, Ollie. Right, come here. You talk about your shiny moonwalk.
Anyway,
I'm not going to try. Right.
So we start off. The weather's lovely. It's perfect.
I don't want this to detract from your story.
We leave. What are you doing?
I got him.
Have you got him? Go on. Throw him out there.
Getting him rid of him.
No, but don't put him out. Actually,
no,
out.
Sorry, go on. You're Terry Stewart.
Out. So we started at Battersea Park. It was lovely. The weather was great. We got to mile 8. Everything was going brilliantly by mile 8. Like, actually, genuinely, we were all feeling really positive. We'd, like...
The weather was glorious to start with, wasn't
so
it?
So beautiful.
Absolutely glorious.
And the first 8 miles, actually, the first 9 miles, was some of the most beautiful landmarks of London that we walked past. So lovely. So we're doing really well. Then we get to mile 8. Everything's fine. Past mile 8, we're walking along past like the Globe and the Shard towards the Tower of London and Tower Bridge. And we get to Tower Bridge and the 9th mile mark is supposed to be there. It wasn't there. Then there was no arrows. And then we basically got lost. And at the time, I thought it was about 2K of getting lost. And it, by the way, it wasn't just the three of us. There was Simon, I'm guessing there was probably around 200 people in this group of us that are kind of like lost in London. I mean, when I say lost,
200 lost people.
We knew where we were, but we didn't know where the route was because they'd taken all the arrows away. It transpired actually that there'd been some sort of accident on Tower Bridge. They'd rerouted everyone off London Bridge, but they'd not told the people that had gone past London Bridge already. So we'd already walked past London Bridge towards Tower Bridge and they'd not told us. So anyway, it's a bit of a disaster. And then we got back on track. It was all okay until we hit mile. It was about mile 15 when it started to rain, and it was around the kind of King's Cross area, and it started to rain, but it didn't like slowly rain. The world ended with
the weather
rain.
Here in the UK has been insane this weekend.
It was lightning.
Insane. If you saw the end of the City Arsenal match, you'll know what we mean. It was torrential.
It was, and if you look at my stories from last night, you'll see it was absolutely torrential, and it did not stop again until we finished the race. Like, we finished it still in the rain. It was just a joke how badly the rain was. But anyway, because of that detour, rather than the 26.2 miles that we were supposed to do, the actual race was 28.9 miles long.
Nice.
So that was great. And then it was a mile and a half inside the park to get to the race at the beginning. So we'd actually walked over 30 miles by the time we'd finished the race. So there were a lot of blisters on my feet. However, I've had 2 hours sleep.
Yeah. Anything can happen tonight, guys. I'll be honest.
Anything could happen
tonight. We've already had you being attacked by a daddy long legs.
Yeah.
We've had me having to sort that out.
Yeah.
And it could go anyway. If I start boring you with, you know, Southampton 1,
I might fall asleep.
You might just nod off.
But what I will say, and genuinely, like, it was a horrible experience, but also one of the best things I've ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
And the feeling of achievement at the end of it is something that you can't explain. And honestly, like, doing it with JT and with Si, I couldn't have found two better people to do it with, because they both kept me going in very different ways. Si just told us nonsense stories the whole way round. He just kind of like, did I ever tell you about
that.
This? I'd be
I
like, no.
It.
And then he'd start talking about this story and it was just so great. So that was brilliant. Jenny's just always the most positive person in the world. So yeah, it was really good. Here's my medal, look.
There's the medal. Aww. There it is. There it is.
Yeah, and I think I've done 1,250 pounds so far, just over that. But you can still donate if you want to. I assume you put the link in the description.
The link will be in the description. And if you guys want to, and there's already a couple of super chats coming in, Sam. We've had one from Malachi Fox. Thank you, Malachi. He says, fair play, Sam. What an amazing effort. Joseph Maloney in with a super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Congratulations, Sam and Simon, on the marathon. Well done. Guys, if you want a super chat, no pressure to. But if you do, we're going to just chuck all that in the pot as well. So that will go on top of the money that has already been raised for cancer research. So thank you, Malachi. Thank you, Joseph. We'll just chuck it in the pot and we'll get as much money over to cancer research as we can. So listen, fair play. Absolutely brilliant. Well done, all three of you. Absolutely well done. Well done.
Your turn next year.
Well, I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. I'm inspired by you all. I mean, the fact that you come home with blisters all on your feet and soaking your feet in a little foot spa for most of the day doesn't fill me with, you know, I'm not buzzing, but I will do it if you want me to do it with you. I'll happily do it.
It's one of those, I think, that, you know, you just... I wanted to do a marathon. I've done it now.
Love it.
Like, I don't feel the need to do one again, but...
George says he'll do it next year. Come on, George. We'll have a little FPL family gathering one. We could do that. We'll organise it. Let's think about it.
Because
the one thing I will say is that putting the thought of doing it again in your head right now is not something you really want to think about. You want to know at least 24 hours before you think about doing anything.
I reckon give me at least 2 weeks before you try and talk me into doing anything else that involves... Like, you tried to have a conversation with me about gym classes today.
Given that coming down the stairs to do this after putting the kids to bed, it took you about 10 minutes to walk down the stairs. So I think the thought... George, I like your enthusiasm. Simon, full of enthusiasm. Let's give Sam at least a day to just get the feeling back in her legs.
Next week, if you want to talk to me about it, I'll have a conversation. But don't start talking to me about, do you want to do a gym class on Friday night? I was like, no, not really. I don't want to move again ever at the moment.
Oh, well, let's get on with some of these games, Sam, because we do have to talk about FPL at some stage. Interesting week, to say the least. While you were busy raising tons of money for charity, I was having a lovely time at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with Max. So let's start. Where better place to start, I would suggest, than Spurs 3, Brentford 1. Now, this is a fixture which is not only something we need to talk about, obviously, this game, but we need to talk about the context of the upcoming fixtures as well. Because if I just flick to the fixtures, look at that. Spurs up there, they are it's currently fifth in the fixture ticker for those listening on the podcast, with Man United up next, then Brighton, West Ham, Crystal Palace. So those next three away games do look kind of tricky for Spurs, actually.
If you ran that further forward, though, they go higher up the ticker.
They do go higher up the ticker. But I also want to talk about Brentford as well, because in game week 6, there will be a lot of FPL managers looking to wildcard. That's definitely a sort of popular narrative from what I'm seeing on FPL Twitter and everywhere else. And you can see why, right? West Ham and Wolves at home, and goodness me, I've got a lot to say about West Ham in a bit, and Hammers fans, you might not want to listen to it. West Ham and Wolves, then Man United, Ipswich. So three of the next four home games look so, so good for Brentford. But I want to talk about Spurs first. You happy if I just kind of dive in, or do you want to crack on? Do you want to talk about Spurs?
No, because apparently you're going to make me happier this week. So I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah.
And we're going to see whether you make amends for what you said last week.
Well, frankly, it was night and day versus the previous week. And I appreciate it was Arsenal the previous week, but Spurs had kind of got off to what I would call a bit of a staccato start to the season. It'd been a bit hit and miss, hadn't it, to say the least. But Saturday, very, very different, guys, I have to say. So Max and I sat in the south stand. We had great seats. We've got a full view of the pitch. And I love and I haven't been to a game for a long time, actually. And I loved going to that game because there's so much that you see going to the game that you obviously don't see on Match of the Day or even on the broadcast, right? Yeah. So much that you don't see. Like Dominic Solanke.
Which is what I was saying last week about him.
I now fully understand what you were saying and I fully understand what Ange says when you talk about how important he is for the system.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, yes, he's getting assists and goals. He's got off the mark. That's a really good thing. So therefore, in FPL, we all should have him on the radar.
He could have braced, actually.
Particularly. I'm going to talk about your goal threat in a minute. But with the fixtures coming up, as we just discussed, Solanke on radar. But let me tell you, from a non-FPL perspective, he is one of the most intelligent pressers of a ball that I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, and because he knows how to press, the other two feed off... This is going to sound weird. They feed off of his intelligence. Now, Brennan and Son, God love them. They work really, really hard. But I don't think they're really intelligent pressers. They are hard-working pressers, but they're not mega, mega intelligent.
Well, that's probably fair.
But Solanke is both, guys, let me tell you. And he is not just pressing their centre-halves. And he gave Sepp van der Berg, you know, 4.0 klaxon in FPL, so definitely one to have a look at. But I'm telling you, he went to bed and he had a good night's sleep because Solanke would have run him ragged.
He could have come walk the marathon with me afterwards.
Well, maybe. I don't think he'd run out of gas, I think, after playing Solanke. But Solanke is vocal. He's telling. Yeah. Son's a captain. He's telling him where to press. Very, very good indeed. James Maddison. What player. What player. He was absolutely on one. And I know he got the goal and all the rest of it, but he ran the show. And the defence was very, very good. I saw firsthand for the first time Mickey van der Ven. He's rapid. There's no doubt about it. Goalkeeper a bit dodgy is my only negative.
Okay.
But overall, a very, very good performance from Spurs. Very, very good indeed.
Look, I think last week I sat here, and part of the reason I was getting so frustrated with you last week was because what you've just said is what I was trying to say last week, and maybe I wasn't saying it very well, but when you're in that stadium and you watch, you can tell me what you like about watching a game on the big screen, but when you're watching it on a screen at home in your living room, you are watching the ball and the play that is happening in that moment. You are not really watching what's happening around the pitch. Mm. And you're not hearing and seeing the communication between the players. And you're not watching the way that players move in and around the ball, unless it's in direct involvement with that period of play, right? So you miss this other stuff. And it's only really when you're in the game and you're sat there in a stand above it watching that you kind of go, God, look how impressive that is. Now, Solanke, what he did against Brentford, he did exactly the same thing against Arsenal the week before. He actually did exactly the same thing against Coventry in midweek as well in the League Cup.
Yeah.
It's just that those...
He's going to be an important player. You've got to keep important. Him fit because the system don't work without him.
No,
as
it's
well.
So important. It's so He is so important. That's why we bought him. That's why they specifically wanted that kind of striker for
that
role.
Oh yeah, because Tony ain't pressing like that.
Exactly. This why they went for Solanke over going for Tony, because he fits the system and he fits exactly what Ange wants to play. What I've loved this week is the reaction to Brennan Johnson. He had a horrible weekend last weekend with a couple of idiots being absolute, should just be banned from social media in my opinion. But he came out in midweek, came on the pitch, played quite well
good
when
reaction.
He came on,
yeah, yeah.
And then played really well again at the weekend. And
well, it's clear that it's clear the actual Spurs fans, the 60,000 that go to the stadium, love him and support him. It's
well,
just
you hear
the
it.
Dickheads
you can...
on Twitter, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. It's standard nonsense, isn't it? Like, I think the way that front five, with Kulusevski and Maddison and those two and Sonny, work together, works incredibly well. Because Madison's had a lot of grief. Last season in particular, the back end of last season, for not being good. But he came back from a long-term injury and took a long time to come back from the injury, just the fitness levels and everything else. Low-key, he started the season really well this year. And I think first time we've really had it recognised from a gameplay perspective and also from an FPL perspective was this week. Other weeks, he's played well, but not really got the final product right, or there's not been a Solanke up top. Like, genuinely, I think had Solanke been fit for that Newcastle game, that result is different. because the way that we move around and those chances that we were creating would have had somebody there to finish them. For me,
FPL wise, who are you going for?
Well, that's a really good question. The fixtures are 100% there, which is why I'm keeping Porro. And I think Spurs defence is what it is. The fact that we conceded on 24 seconds or whatever it was, that's kind of, as frustrating as it is for me to say this, it is kind of a bit what we do. Like, we don't, not necessarily that quickly, but we always have a mistake in us. And this time around, maybe Mickey should defend it better. Maybe the keeper should do a bit better.
It's a well-taken goal. We will talk about him in a second.
It's a well-taken goal. So actually, you know, it is kind of, I don't think anybody's owning Pedro Porro for clean sheet potential. I think if you've got Pedro Porro, you're owning
him for... 5-5 though, Sam. I think you do. You want a bit of clean sheet, maybe.
But between now and 16, the fixtures are really nice. Apart from 12 against Manchester City, they are nice fixtures where there should be a number of clean sheets. So I think you'll get some, but I think you own Porro. If you've got 0.5
more, you're not having him over Gabriel, are you?
No, I think if you don't have an Arsenal player and your route to an Arsenal defender is to sell Porro, then fair enough.
Yeah.
But if you've already got Gabriel and you've also got Porro and you don't need the money, I think you'd hold.
Sure.
I think where you go, honestly, up top is kind of going to be a budget thing. But my personal feeling is that Dom Solanke is the best option. And part of the reason I didn't move Muniz this week is because I wanted to give Solanke and Spurs another game before I invested. And then obviously now I've seen him score a goal and I'll invest. So that
I don't disagree with you, but I do want to give Madders a shout out. He was absolutely central to everything. And the thing with these Spurs fixtures coming up is that I think the world will flock to Dominic Solanke. I think he's the obvious choice.
Well, because the forward options aren't great at the moment.
Well, I don't know about that. Be a lot of people going now for Havertz. Obviously, you've got Haaland there. You've got Darwin Nunez back on bang on form.
Oh,
and on
shut
fire.
Up. No,
you've got João Pedro playing again.
No, João Pedro got injured.
Oh, did he? Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, because you'd just gone out when he got injured. He was hobbling around horribly at the end of the game.
Oh, was he? Okay. Well,
so keep an eyes on that one. Because if he's injured again, then that's a problem.
All right. Well, Spurs, very, very impressive indeed. Very impressive. Madison is the one I've got my eye on. It's going to be difficult to find a spot for him in that
midfield.
That's
why I think most people would go to Solanke.
Yeah.
Because it's easier in the front line.
It will be difficult. And people in the chat saying that Watkins, Isak, you know, there's plenty of forward options, I think. But Dom is bang on radar, and he absolutely should be because of what he gives that team. I don't see a way Richarlison gets in that team. I really don't.
Well, Richarlison's injured and out for a while anyway.
I just don't see how he gets in the team at all. But Madison, bang on radar. Of course, Porro's there. But, you know, for everything we've said about Spurs, and they're very impressive. It should have and could have been more than three. George is in, right? And I'm sure he'd say the same, right? It could have been more than three because you created so many chances. But 24 seconds in, Mbeumo scores. I've got to talk about him. And at 2-1, your goalkeeper handles it outside the area and it's not even close. It is a clear red card and he gets away with it. And then Madison goes, and then Mbeumo has another good chance. And actually, after he does the handball, Vicario then pulls out a couple of good saves and keeps you in the game, which, were it a different keeper, maybe he doesn't make them. I don't know. And maybe Brentford get something out of this game.
I definitely don't think Vicario had his best performance in this one, to say
not.
The least. Whereas, actually, the last few weeks, he's been good. But he does have a mistake in him every now and then because of the way that we play. But also, I didn't go into this expecting there to be a clean sheet for Spurs because Brentford going forward have been really good so far this season. And Mbeumo, he has a really good record
against
us.
Well, hold that thought, Sam, because we had a couple of super chats I'm just going to read out. So one from the lovely Nigel. Thank you, mate, for the super chat. That will go in the pot along with all the others. He said his body hurts, but it's easily one of the best things I've done. Fab memories singing in the rain while walking for mile 20. Awesome team, all kept each other going. Shout out for Jenya. Thank you, Simon, for keeping the girls company.
Were like
absolutely brilliant.
Two people, given they'd never met before, they were great. By the end of it, they'd known each other their whole lives.
That's what 8 hours together will do for you.
Yeah.
John Little, thank you very much for the super chat. Well done, Sam. He says well done.
Thank you.
Was wildcarding in six, but now I'm not so sure. I think there's going to be a few that feel like that, you know. Not so sure about the wildcard in six now. Raya Robinson, Porro, Mazraoui, Torres, Byrne, Diaz, Rogers, Smith Rowe, Saka, Watkins, Haaland, Isak.
That's enough Arsenal. No, I don't think that needs it.
If that's your current team, John, it doesn't need a wildcard, mate, in my opinion. But if it's the team that you are thinking of wildcarding to, then I don't mind it.
Can I just say one thing about wildcards? If you are thinking about wildcarding now, try and block the noise and just look at your team.
Just do what's right for your team, yeah. There'll be a lot of people wildcarding, a lot of people convincing you that's the right thing to do.
100%. If you go on X or anywhere else that you get content, there will be hundreds of people telling you that now is the moment to wildcard. And it might be for your team. Yeah. But it also might not be. So just look at your team and then make that decision from there.
100%. 100%. Talk to me about Brentford then, because, I was actually kind of impressed. I know it's a 3-1 defeat and they could have had more, but I think Vissa was a miss. There's no doubt about it. Vissa was a miss. But what I would say about Mbeumo is, if you were in any doubt as to who the talisman is in that team and what everything goes, who, you know, the player they look for, the midfielders, whenever they've got the ball, he was taking corners. Obviously, I think he takes the penalties. He gets the goal in the 24 after 24 seconds. You know, every time they were coming forward, I'm like, if they're going to get something, it's going to be him. And I understand now, I think, why Thomas Frank didn't start with Sharda through the middle. Don't like him much. Say, George, you can tell me what you think, but he come on and he just didn't show enough energy for me, because the forwards for Brentford, whenever your defenders had the ball, they did a reasonable job with the press. It was such a high intensity game. Both teams pressing like maniacs. It was a very sort of game game week 5 in the Premier League. You could see, you know, the teams are now fully match fit. The players are starting to get match fit. If it was game week 25, we wouldn't have had that sort of game, I don't think, right? But the players are match fit. They're full of beans now. It was a very, very intense game of football. Very high energy. You couldn't take your eyes off it. And Brentford absolutely played their part in it. And they were reasonably high in the press. Now, if I look at Brentford's fixtures going forward, they have got to play a team who, in my opinion, were the least intense this weekend. They lacked a massive amount of intensity, West Ham. And the bits that I saw on Match of the Day and I've seen on Twitter and YouTube and stuff, they were the opposite to what Spurs were doing this weekend. Spurs did not give Brentford a minute's rest. It was press, 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 press from the kickoff. Mm-hmm. From the second kickoff. It was pressing like absolute maniacs. And what Brentford didn't do at all with Chelsea, and I thought Chelsea played well, they got the 3-0. West Ham didn't do with Chelsea. And Chelsea played well, not digging them out, 3-0, they'd be happy, right? Of course they were, away from home, happy days. But bloody hell, did West Ham make it easy, because there was just no intensity and no pressing. Mm. So I think Brentford, I think, and obviously we're going to talk about Haaland, but Mbeumo's a captaincy option for me next week. Definite captaincy option for me next week. Because if Brentford play like they did against you, they will beat West Ham comfortably. It's just that you were awesome in the press and the intensity and the energy. And unless West Ham bring out those sort of vibes...
Well, they won't.
They're dead. And they're already starting to... We'll talk about them in a minute. But they're already starting to get their excuse in. Notice West Ham Twitter is starting to, like, is he the right guy? Bring back David Moyes, all this sort of narrative.
Sorry, who said bring back David Moyes?
They all wanted Moyes out. He's gone.
Well, now they want him back.
And now they've got Lopetegui, and they're saying the characters of the team is all wrong, and Jared Bowen in his post-match looking a bit down in the dump. Look, we'll do it in a minute, but Brentford, absolutely investable. Absolutely investable. With West Ham Wolves up next, then Man United away, and Ipswich, Fulham, Bournemouth after that. Get Mbeumo, boys and girls.
Is it... So I agree with what you've just said about getting Mbeumo. Yes, I'm with you. However, is there anyone else? Like, you talked about Sepp earlier, but is there genuinely another option at Brentford? Like, is it just that Spurs were good in attack this week and that's why the defence was no good from a Brentford perspective, to invest in from FPL, I'm talking about, not actually in real life? Or moving forward into the next few weeks when the fixtures shift, is there anyone else alongside him? Because with the fixtures that... Part of the reason for asking this is that with the fixtures the way they are for Brentford, that is a team that you should be more than one. And I think a lot of people would have gone for him and Vissa together before the injury. But now it's kind of like, well, is it just him and done? Or is there anyone else there?
The two that impressed me, I know he got the assist. Keane Lewis Potter, I thought, played very, very well. And he floated one over for Mbeumo. And it was well taken by Mbeumo rather than it being a good cross. It was an all right cross. But Mbeumo, it's his goal.
It's a really good
amazing goal. little bit of Liverpool bias coming out here, but I thought Carvalho was really good. I thought he was really, really good. And he scored the bicycle kick in the Carabao Cup, didn't he? And he was taking Spurs players on, and Spurs were often doubling up on him, which tells you everything you need to know about what they thought of him as a threat. I'm not sure West Ham are going to do that. I think if West Ham give Carvalho a bit of time and space to do what he wants, he will do what he wants. I still think Mbeumo's the one to get. Everything's going for him. He's a talisman, he's pens, he's everything. If you wanted to double up, and I'm not against it, Carvalho's the one I'd have.
Okay.
Carvalho's the one I'd have. Or and Flecken, if you want to go probably. At the back, Flecken's fine. Flecken's fine. If that's just keeper strategy 4-5. Set Van der Berg for 4. Yeah, he's probably your 4, isn't he? He's probably a 4, I would say. But yeah, Carvalho, well impressed with him, as I was with Keane Lewis Potter. Let's talk about, Sam, their opponents for next week. West Ham versus Chelsea. It was the game that kicked us off this week, the lunchtime kickoff. Let's do West Ham first, because there's plenty to talk about from a Chelsea perspective, but let's just finish that narrative on West Ham. Excuse my French, but they were shite. Absolute rubbish. And even the Kudus goal... that got chalked off. Well taken, but that was it. I didn't see anything else from a West Ham perspective, particularly in that first half. I mean, they're just standing off, just letting them do what they want to do. Jackson's getting time and space. He's putting it through the keeper's legs at acute angles. I don't get it. And actually, there was something, and I've got to read this out, because you guys know we're friends with the guys from Planet FPL, with Suj and with James. And Suj is obviously a West Ham fan, those of you that follow at Planet FPL, and hopefully all of you are, right? The guys are brilliant, right? Great, great podcast. But Suj, he tweeted this, and I thought this is kind of telling, because this is coming from a West Ham fan. He said, some thoughts on West Ham after an awful home defeat to Chelsea and three defeats in a row now this season. So that's, they haven't won at home yet, and they've had three defeats in a row. Is it time to be concerned? Yes. Is it time to panic? No. But, and this is, I forgot about this, if it wasn't for a 94th minute equaliser at Fulham and an 88th minute handball winner versus Bournemouth in the Carabao Cup. So again, he's absolutely right. They've been dreadful. And the games where they've got anything lucky from it, they've got bloody lucky, really, with the Ings goal and the handball. The record this season would easily read played 6, won 1, lost 5. And that would be Lopetegui in big, big trouble. And he's absolutely right. They look dreadful. And it's gone a bit under the radar, because every week we sit and we go, well, Everton are the team to target because they're crap. Southampton are the team to target. They're crap. West Ham have been low-key, absolute rubbish.
Yeah, but also I think, for me, one of the differences is whenever I look at the... Oh, sorry, guys. That was the first one.
It's the first one.
Oh.
2 hours sleep. Here she goes.
Guys.
You need like a porn star martini or something to wake you up. Do you want a shot of Taboo or something? Remember that?
I've still got that.
God, break it open.
Probably would cause me to be quite ill now if in the cupboard that long. It's because you were talking about West Ham. I got bored.
You were just like, oh, terrible.
Oh, I'll go to sleep. I think part Please of the problem again. With West Ham... No, it's not you talking, is it? I think part of the problem with West Ham is that when you look at the starting 11 for Everton, Southampton, you kind of go... Well, that don't look like it's going to be much good.
No.
Whereas when you look at the starting 11 for West Ham...
The players are there.
You go, well, that's a decent starting 11. They've got really decent players. Yet for some reason...
How does Antonio still get a game of football?
Well, I don't know.
What's up with Fulcrug? Is he fit? Is he ready?
Well, clearly not.
Jesus.
It's very bizarre. You spend all this money on a player and you don't play him. It's bizarre.
Anyway, I don't want to... let's leave it there on West Ham. Right? They are targetable, no doubt.
Yes, they do look like a team...
They'll probably beat us in the cup now midweek, as people are saying.
Well, they might. But if they do, it would be a turn up.
Yeah, I think so. So target West Ham, but target Chelsea for transfers in. What are we saying about their fixtures going forward? Let's have a look at them. Brighton at home, Forest at home, which on paper is two really nice looking home games. But I'm telling you, that's difficult games, you know. And then away at Anfield, home to Newcastle, Man United, Arsenal. You can see why they're lingering towards the bottom of the ticker. The Chelsea fixtures are quite tricky.
God's sake.
What, is that another one?
No, There's a little fly now, but why do they keep flying up my face?
I don't know, Sam. I don't know. You've obviously got a very attractive face. What are we saying about Chelsea then? Two for Nicholas Jackson, one for Cole Palmer. Sancho in with the assist.
Your mate in our draft team.
Well, I put him in our sleeper draft, didn't I? Much to your displeasure, but he's great.
Do you know what I did in my scout sleeper league?
What?
When I saw he was starting, I got him in.
Because
I had issues in that team anyway, so I was like, right, I'll get him in. That worked actually very well. The problem I have with Chelsea is that I can't work out whether this game was actually Chelsea playing well or West Ham just being really bad. Like, and that's part of the issue I have with Chelsea generally, is that the games that I've been impressed with them in have been the game against West Ham and the game against Wolves. Now, both of those teams are struggling.
Yeah. And at the time, were both in the real nadir, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my issue here, is that whenever I see Chelsea do well, I look at who they're playing and think, well, I'm not surprised that you've done well this week. Now,
Jack Jones is saying, here we go, Chelsea no credit situation. I feel like we don't give Chelsea any credit on these streams ever.
No, to be fair, I was about to.
You're about to. Go on then.
However, I think that there are a couple of players in that Chelsea team. I still think, even with the goal this week, that Cole Palmer is too expensive. And that's not really a Cole Palmer comment. That's more of a comment about the budget of your team. Because particularly now with the Arsenal fixtures the way that they are, with Haaland playing the way that he is, with Saka, with even you could put Son in that bracket as well now, with Watkins, it's quite hard to own Palmer.
I thought he did okay, Palmer, but as the chat is saying, he was sort of a bit average, apart from the goal.
I'd agree. Yeah. And I think the thing I would say is that at Chelsea, you don't have to spend 10.5 on Palmer, 10.6. You can spend less than that on a Jackson, on a Sancho.
He does seem to like Jackson, doesn't he?
He likes Jackson. And he seems to like Sancho. Like, Sancho's come in, obviously, and now play well, and then gets the start. There does seem to be a bit of a movement towards playing him. And
do we have to take Jackson seriously now, Ice G is saying?
Yeah,
I think we do.
I think you do have to. And I think that's the thing with Chelsea, is that in the past, at the beginning of the season anyway, sort of game weeks one, just after we got past the Nkunku dramas, but it got to a point where it was kind of like, all right, Chelsea, well, you've got to go Palmer then if you want to go Chelsea. Whereas I don't think that's the case now. I do think there's a possibility of going for a Jackson up top or taking a bit of a punt on Sancho. I don't think you have to spend that premium price tag. But as you've mentioned, the Chelsea fixtures are a bit mixed. So the fact that these players are also cheaper is helpful as well in terms of the budget distribution across the rest of his height.
Yeah, agree. The one thing I did pick up watching this game, the bits that I did see, because I was on the way to Spurs for some of it.
Back-to-back clean sheets as well.
Back-to-back clean sheets. And Cucurella, when they have got the ball, not only does he invert, but he doesn't ever invert in the same way. He just goes where he wants, Cucurella.
Yeah.
He's just like, right, we've got the ball, I'll just go wherever I want. But to his credit, when they lose the ball, he does get back into his shape quite quickly. So
maybe he's been given that reign.
Cucurella is, I think he's becoming low key quite important to that team in the way that he plays and the way that he just adds. Like, you know, when like if Rico Lewis inverts, you know he's inverting into like a false 10 almost, like, and he plays in that front six, isn't he?
Yeah.
When he plays. And you know, when Trent inverts, he goes into that central mid and he's like quarterbacking passes out. Cucurella's like both and neither of those things. He just does what he wants, Cucurella.
Yeah.
It's absolutely mad. But it works against West Ham. I wonder whether with those fixtures coming up, he might need to be a bit more disciplined in the way that he inverts, in my opinion. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah,
we'll
maybe. See. Because I think when you look at the fixtures they have coming up against Brighton and Nottingham Forest, as we saw
good
from
defenses.
The game, as we saw from the game today between the two of them.
Yeah,
the
good defences.
The Black Box
Derby. Let's discuss Manchester City 2, Arsenal 2. We did discuss it briefly at the top of the stream. But what a cracking game. What a cracking game. And I think it's worthy of us going into Arsenal, because if you look at the Arsenal fixtures, they read like this. I've got to find them on my little graphic here. Here they are. Leicester and Southampton at home next, with Bournemouth away, and then Liverpool, Newcastle, Chelsea. The next two in particular look absolutely ridiculously good for Arsenal. And if you are game week 6 wildcarding, and there will be many of you thinking to do that, and I agree with what you said before, don't have to buy into that narrative, but if you are, I don't mind it at all. you will, I'd imagine, be thinking of trebling up on Arsenal. I think you're absolutely mad if you wildcard this week and you don't have Gabriel, because he is starting to look like, if we didn't know it already, an absolute weapon from free kicks.
The thing is,
and corners. Absolute weapon.
In seasons gone by, especially last season, he was like that, right? He was good from set pieces.
But he looks like he's going to score on every set piece now.
But because now there's a different strategy, Arsenal, every set piece today was aimed at Gabriel.
Yeah.
So the others are moving players around so that Saka can stick the ball on Gabriel's head. That is basically their set piece.
And Saka is so good.
Exactly.
His deliveries are pinpoint, yes, with a capital P.
And so because of that, it does change the conversation. So I obviously, as you all know, have always gone for Saliba. I enjoy owning Saliba. I like the defensive security. I know we didn't get clean sheet today, but I like the defensive security of having Saliba in terms of, I just enjoy owning him. But this season,
it's clearly Gabriel.
I think if you want to go for a defender, just one, it is clearly Gabriel.
Clear.
Even like today, obviously Ben White didn't start the game. Calafiori, yeah, started the game. It was
what
a bit
goal,
changed,
by the way.
What a goal.
What a
really
goal.
Good goal.
You see where he just turned his foot, didn't he? And
yeah,
he just like
bang,
pass whipped it into, that is a hit, by, yeah, the way, from Calafiori. What a goal.
It was a really good goal. So I think if you don't have an Arsenal defender, then yes, absolutely, Gabriel is
easy pick on wildcard if you're
one.
Wildcarding.
Well,
easy.
Even if you're not wildcarding, I think if you don't have an Arsenal defender,
he's the one I want right now. And I've got an Arsenal defender, but I want him as well.
Yeah, that's a different conversation because that's about how, where you double up then, isn't it? But your Arsenal defender at the moment is Raya.
Raya, yeah. He was good again, wasn't he, today? I know he's conceded two goals, but he's such,
yeah,
a good goalkeeper.
Yeah, but what did he get? Like nine saves or something today.
Such
so
a good,
good
goalkeeper.
Yeah, he was excellent. But I think with Arsenal, if you don't have an Arsenal defender, Gabriel should be your first point of call. He is still has the same defensive securities as Saliba, but now every set piece, whereas before some of them were aimed at Saliba, now they're not. Now they're all aimed at Gabriel.
Can I just will say one thing, and Ice G, thank you for another really good comment in the chat. He says, I think he's agreeing, but he's saying managers are making interesting decisions about who's marking him on set pieces. So Gabriel, before he scores the goal, he has another one, doesn't he, that just goes over the bar.
Yeah.
And he loses Doku.
Yeah.
Why are you putting Doku on Gabriel?
I don't know.
Right? So having realised that,
half his height.
Having realised that mistake, Pep goes, all right, Doku, don't you mark him. Walker, you mark him. Also a bad decision, right? And then he loses Walker as well, right? And we'll talk about the first. Well, let's do the first goal because I'm a Rico Lewis owner. I was disappointed to see him not start, but in the same way that, you know, Jota got the rest, I'm kind of, you know, at some stage I was expecting Rico not to get the start. And if it was going to be any game, I'm okay with it being Arsenal, right? Because I was backing Arsenal to get, you know, a goal.
You
maybe
would
not
expect
to,
Arsenal
but
I
benched Rico this week, right? Put it that way.
Okay.
Having watched Kyle Walker in this game, though, particularly with the second goal and the way that Gabriel just completely bossed him. And on the first one, he's hideously out of position when they take the free kick quickly. Now, that is the referee's fault.
But that's the ref's fault.
What I will say, I am totally with Pep Guardiola on that one. And I saw that he kicked the chair in frustration.
Oh, that karate kick the chair.
I totally get it. Because the, yeah, ref is just like, right, Walker, come here. He has a talking to with him. And then he lets him get on with the free kick. And Walker's like, what? I'm not. You've just pulled me out of position to have a conversation with me. And now they've just lobbed it over my head. And Martinelli's through on goal.
Yeah.
I can totally understand why they're upset about that, Pep,
yes,
Guardiola.
100%.
But nevertheless, you could point the finger at Kyle Walker for both of those goals. And as a Rico Lewis owner, I'm cool with it.
I think you'd be very hard. It would be very, very harsh on Kyle Walker to point the first goal at him. That's really...
Well, I don't know, you know.
I don't think it's his fault. The second goal, fine. Point the finger at him, that's fine. I think the thing is, what we have learnt now is that there are going to be games where Pep decides that Kyle Walker's a better option in those games. And that's what we've been saying all along, right? There will be games where they set up with a different strategy. Now, maybe there's less of these games to come with the fixtures the way that they are for Man City, because they don't exactly have to play Arsenal every week.
Well, it's Newcastle away next, then it's Fulham, Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Brighton. So there is a massive fixture swing from seven. If you haven't got Haaland yet for whatever reason, please get Haaland. Please just get him. He is the best in the game. for a bloody good reason. And from seven, everyone that's got him is going to captain him for the next 5 weeks. So please get Haaland if you haven't got him yet.
Why from seven? Why not from six?
Just
Newcastle's defence. You watch them.
Just get him, right? Get him. Because from next week, and we'll talk about captaincy options. I've already thrown my hat in the ring for Mbeumo. I think he's a really good captaincy option. But you could go Haaland away at Newcastle and not sweat about it, right? And then from seven onwards, he's captain for 5 weeks. We're going to go back to, I'm afraid, the boring captaincy Haaland every week as we did last season. It is what it is. It's going to be the case. So get Haaland. But elsewhere, it's like, where else do you go from City? Because this run, you definitely want to invest, don't you? And I'm not convinced that Kyle Walker... I think Rico's back in the team for all of these fixtures.
He might be. But the problem I have with... like you earlier on, you said, and you were right, if you're going to spend money on Pedro Porro, you want a clean sheet out of him. Now, in reality, I know that Rico Lewis is... he's not 4.5 anymore, is he? He's taken a couple of price rises, I think. But he's in that kind of cheap budget. Oh, my God, these flies!
Oh, God.
Please, Lee. That one attacked my leg.
Can you just chill out? I don't know where they're coming from.
Why do they keep flying? Have you got the window open? It's behind you.
Where?
Up there.
Oh, God. Please.
We seem to have a daddy long legs nightmare going on in the UK at the moment. They are everywhere.
I actually can't get them out of them.
Please.
I'm going to have to close the window because they keep coming in here.
Because you keep opening the window.
It's because it's warm in here, isn't it?
I know, but I don't...
Well, I'm not going to be able to get this guy. Look how fast he is.
Jeepers creepers.
Look how fast he is, look.
Guys.
Can you talk about Man City, please?
No, because now I'm freaked out by him because he just attacked me again.
It's on your face. I got him.
What's wrong with this? Stop opening windows.
I've closed it.
Oh, my God. Guys, I need a new husband. These daddy long legs is, honestly, what am I supposed to talk about Man City? What am I supposed to be talking about?
It's hotter than a sauna in here because the windows are closed.
We've got no choice.
This stream is ridiculous tonight. What is going on?
Because you keep letting these daddy long legs come in. They tagged Evie over there as well.
It's my fault, isn't it?
Well, because you keep opening the doors and the windows. You're about to pull the wire out of my thing.
What?
My mic.
Sorry. Yeah, don't pull the mics out. Right.
It flew at my face and my leg, that one.
Are we okay now?
No.
Chat said they're keeping you awake. So good.
Please.
Chat. So good chat.
I don't even know what I'm supposed to be talking about.
We're talking about Man City and we're talking about Rico Lewis being rotated with Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to. He's back in that team and plays a majority of the next six games in my opinion.
They won't keep any clean sheets.
Why not? Have
you watched them defensively?
Yeah, but look at this run. Is there, what? Wolves away, Southampton at home, Bournemouth away. That's all clean sheetable.
I think they'll probably keep one clean sheet and then three.
All right, okay.
And that's my issue with the Man City defence. My issue with Man City generally is I don't know how to invest further than Haaland. Like today we got some Foden back. That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
But again, at premium price.
I'm sure you can go there yet.
I don't think you can go there yet. KDB's out. Missed the game today. Rodri's injured. So what does that mean? And how bad is that injury? Now we do have a Manchester City game on Tuesday evening. So we'll get a press conference. So we hopefully get a little bit more insight on Rodri before that one. I find investing in City outside of Haaland difficult because I don't really want to go for Lewis.
All right. Okay, I'm going to move on because we've spent most of the City talk talking about...
Daddy Longlegs.
Daddy Longlegs. The guys in the chat are saying the podcast listeners are going to get a proper jump scare.
I'm really sorry, guys.
Podcasters, we do apologise because...
It touched my leg and then it flew in my face again.
Right, Sam, we are 53 minutes in, and as usual, we've done like two games. Can we please go a bit faster?
We've done two games.
Liverpool 3, Bournemouth 0. Luis Diaz at the double. Darwin Nunez back from the dead and absolutely on radar.
No.
Trent Alexander-Arnold with a double-digit haul, his first long overdue of the season. Last week was just a blip. Liverpool are amazing. What else should we say?
Where was Jota?
Tell me about your plan for Diogo Jota.
I'm going to sell Jota.
You're going to sell Jota. Jota to Mbeumo is going to be very popular.
That is probably the move I'm about to do.
Yeah.
And I don't...
I can see it.
But I don't love it because I don't have Salah. So at this point, then, if I do Jota to Mbomo, I am what, not investing in the Liverpool attack? Or are we assuming that Trent's enough investment in the Liverpool attack?
Let's have a look at these. Have a look at the Liverpool fixtures then. Wolves coming up next, and then Crystal Palace both away. Chelsea at home. Then it's the Arsenal game in nine. Brighton at home. Aston Villa at home. So
not
the fixtures...
having Jota for Wolves feels horrible.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to have a look. We too have a Carabao Cup game in midweek against West Ham. So we'll wait and see what sort of team he puts out for that. I would not be surprised to see Jota start that game, given that he didn't play at the weekend. But we shall see. We shall see. The one thing I will say is that, yes, Darwin Nunez come back. I still think we got, you know, one good game. We've seen it before with Darwin, I'm afraid, midway through last season when he come on. Yeah, you know, Klopp gave him a bit of a run of starts. He was good for about 3 or 4 weeks. We all got him in FPL. Stop yawning.
I didn't. I really tried to stop it and I didn't.
Talk about Liverpool. Oh, you go about Liverpool.
That's not why I'm... Clearly, that's not why I'm yawning, is it? It's the fact I've had 2 hours sleep in the last 48 hours.
So Darwin got some starts last season. And for about 3 or 4 weeks, yes, effort, brilliant. He's a legend. We'll all get him in FPL. And then he goes back to... I remember it. I remember him. He played, I think, Bournemouth in the Cup, scored a worldie. And then the next week he started in the league and he was brilliant. And then... slowly but surely sort of regresses into can't be asked Darwin again. So we, you know, yes, I'm dead chuffed he scored this week. I'm dead chuffed. And it, by the way, what a goal. What a goal on his left foot. Brilliant strike. But I want to see some consistency before I'm going to go anywhere near.
You will ever see consistency.
Well, this is the problem, isn't it? This is the problem. But if it's consistency you want, then the player to go for is the Colombian on the left-hand side, because he is absolutely bloody cooking at the minute.
So what was really interesting...
he is looking as good as Mane did in that position a couple of seasons ago. So good.
I agree with you, but I also was a little bit... when I saw the team sheet, I was a little bit like, oh, I was expecting to see Gakpo in the starting 11 this week. But I don't really know why I was expecting to see Gakpo, but in my head, I'd just kind of gone, maybe we might see Gakpo this week.
I still think, my theory for that is, I still think the front three that he prefers is Salah, Jota, Diaz. And I don't think he wanted to go into a game, particularly on the back of a Forest defeat, and change two of those three.
Right.
That's my theory on it. Does that mean we could rock up against West Ham with two of the three again? Yes. And it could be Salah, Jota, and Nunez or Gakpo on the left. I'd be surprised if we don't see Gakpo start against West Ham. And then we probably... I mean, even Chiesa might get a start. He might decide to rest Mo.
Is he ready yet?
Yeah, he looks
all
right. Carabao Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. Okay. But this this game, so the game next week, the Wolves away game, I still think, and I'm willing to take a bit of stick here if this is wrong, I still think that three is his best. That's his preferred three at the moment, is Salah, Diaz and Jota. But the other thing to say about that is, regardless of what you think about Jota's rotation risk, Diaz is still a better pick than him because he's the one banging all the goals.
But he's more expensive because he's taking price rises.
So it's not just a sideways move now.
What? When is that game, please, next weekend?
I have no idea. Do you want me to look it up?
That's all right, I can do it. I'm just kind of interested because...
While you're doing that, then I'll read a couple of comments from the chat. Phil B sold Jota for Mbeumo. Yeah, I can see it. Have Liverpool attacking cover from Trent. Yeah, I...
Oh, it's the 5:30 game next Saturday. That's annoying.
5:30, away at Wolves on TV. Yeah, okay. Mr. T. Tendai, Jota is only going down in price. Diaz, however, has only played 90 minutes once. Yeah, but he doesn't need the 90 minutes to do the damage, Tendai. Diaz is absolutely doing it. He could have had 3 or 4 against Bournemouth, and that's not even a joke. The one thing I will say also about him that I've noticed, and we'll like it from an FPL perspective, is he's a little bit selfish, Diaz. He's a little bit selfish. He will go for goal more often than not than pass it, I've noticed.
Yeah.
So,
but that in FPL is good.
That's what I'm saying. We like that from an FPL perspective. We like him having shots, particularly if he's going to be accurate like he is with him at the moment. So I still think those three at a front three. If you want to sell Jota, I don't mind. I'm cool with it, right? I'll be keeping him this week.
But you've already got Mbeumo, and I guess that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, when I look at my team... I can't go Harry Winks.
Yeah.
to Montbomo because it's too expensive.
Too much.
I can't smell. I can't smell. I can smell. I can't sell.
You need to go to bed, dear, don't
you? I do. I really need to go to bed. I can't sell Emile Smith Rowe right now.
No, fair play.
I've got Jota. I'm...
Yeah, where are we going with this?
Working out where Mbombs goes...
Oh, I see. Yeah, difficult.
...without selling Jota is actually quite difficult. So do I go, all right, well, I'll give one more week to Jota and see what happens?
No, no. You should get Mbombo.
Sure, but when I think about the way that my team is right now, the idea of not having a Liverpool proper attacker for Wolves isn't...
Or full stop, because we're scoring a lot of goals. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm
Have you got the money in the bank to go ESR to Mbombo?
How much is ESR? 5.6.
5 point something, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one I wouldn't mind. That's the one I wouldn't mind. I mean, as the guys are saying in the chat, right? So, Babani, thank you for the comment. The Smith Rowe goal was a gift from Pope. It was. No doubt about it. Pope's got to save that. He's got to save it. Mm-hmm. And Smith Rowe played all right, right? But without that goal, if Pope saves that this weekend, I think you'd think a lot more about Smith Rowe to Mbombo this week.
I'm just looking at my team as to...
But the fact he's got a 9-pointer there, Smith Rowe, you're like, oh, I definitely want to get that. But without the goal, he doesn't get bonus, all the rest of it, right? It's a different kettle of fish.
Can't even sell Rodgers now after his performance either.
But let's move on. Liverpool looking good. The chat was saying, Lee, comment on Kelleher. Yeah, good. Played really, really well. As he always does when he comes in. But listen, he's not a long-term. Alisson will come back in whenever he's ready, right? Whenever he's ready. What else to discuss? Palace 0, Manchester United 0. Eze owner's done again. How has he not got on the score sheet, Eze, particularly with that one in the second half that he side foots past the post? Absolutely crazy. And even the Garnacho owners can feel a little bit aggrieved, you know, hitting the bar. I think Bruno Fernandes hit the bar as well, so not much else to say in that game. De Ligt could have scored as well. A pinpoint header that, you know, Henderson did well to save. And that really, I think, is that's the story of the game. Other than to say, Henderson owners, well done. I think he got 8 or 9 in the end this game week.
Got 9.
And he was thoroughly deserved it. He wanted to keep his old team out. He definitely had his, you know, I'm going to show you hat on, didn't he, this weekend. Very, very good.
While I tell a little funny story about Dean Henderson, your brother texted me to say we missed a super chat.
Oh,
apparently it happened in the Daddy Longlegs gate. So, while we were out walking, at one point, Si goes to me.
We did.
Si goes to me, oh, Sam, do you know what happened in the Manchester United game? It properly cheered up my mood when I saw those Dean Henderson points because I've been very close for a number of weeks, as you know, to throwing Dean Henderson out with the
dishwasher.
Well,
I think everyone has.
But my plan this week with him, actually going into game week 6, was to sell him.
Yeah.
And bring in Raya.
Yeah.
However, he does actually have a really nice fixture this week because it's Everton, I think, for Palace, isn't it, up in game week 6?
Let's have a look.
So now, after a 9-point haul, I'm kind of going, well, maybe I don't -4 him out this week.
All right.
And I just hold him for one more week and I deal with the keeper the week after.
All right. We did miss a super chat from Davis family. Thank you, Davis family. Hi, fam. Would you do Jota to Mbombo? Yep. And Robinson to Timber Calafiori. Or wildcard out of Raya, Trent, Robinson, Pau, Sauer, Salah, Rogers, ESR, Jota, Garnacho. I wouldn't wildcard out of that. That feels absolutely fine, that wildcard. But well, Jota to Mbombo, obviously, getting rid of a Liverpool player, I'm never going to endorse it. But if it's for Mbeumo, I'm so high on Mbeumo for that fixture against West Ham next week that I think if it means selling Jota for him, then do it.
What was the other move of that?
Robinson to Timber or Calafiori. Timber looks decent, doesn't he, to be fair? I know Calafiori scored the worldie, but Timber looks decent.
I also don't know that you could guarantee Timber starts because... Yeah. Calafiori starts because you've also got the Ben White thing there. Timber feels a bit more secure. So if you wanted to go for Timber, then fair enough. Calafiori is also 6. So if you're going to go 6, just go Gabriel.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming he's already got Gabriel, but yeah, you're going to have him. Last thing to say on this, Martinez, that's a red, isn't it? I mean, please. I think it's like 3 reds, actually.
Yeah.
I'd go as far as say it's disgusting. It was. I
why have you had to? Why? Why? Why what? Do you have to have a? Why is there a, like a, such a?
Well, it's Man United for a start. And secondly, it was a horrible, horrible tackle.
Well, we saw a couple of them this weekend.
If he makes contact with the player, they should ban him for life. I mean, and to be honest, even if there wasn't contact with the player, and thank God there wasn't, because that would have been a leg break. But nevertheless, the intent's there. He jumps up. He's almost done like a tuck jump. His knees are touching his chest almost. He's like, his arms are out.
Like an eagle.
Like an eagle. He has meant to double foot tackle the ball there. And if the player's leg is in the way, he breaks that player's leg and that player is out for a very long time. I'm struggling to believe that it's a yellow and he gets away with anything. Honestly, it was disgusting. It was disgusting. But anyway, enough talk about that.
I think we should have a little word about Aston Villa.
We should have a big word about Aston Villa. Go on, although we're massively over time, but go on.
Well, because I got on
little
the,
word about
I'm
Villa.
On the tube. It's 1-0 to Wolves and I can't fathom what on earth is happening. As somebody who captained Ollie Watkins, I was like, what is happening? And then I came off the tube and it was 1-1 and I was like, okay, fine. It was Rodgers assisting Watkins. I'm happy. I don't need to look again.
When the FPL community rejoices with the first Morgan Rodgers return.
We did. We rejoiced. And then a note today, he got an extra bonus point added to him today as well.
He did.
And then later on, when I check in the Man United score, I see that it was 3-1. And I was like, Wolves, what are you doing? And then I watched the highlights. It's just...
Well, it was 1-0 for a long, long time, wasn't it? And I'm sitting here. So I was trebled up on Aston Villa at this stage.
Oh, of course, yes.
So I had Watkins captain.
So you've actually got four, really, because you've got captaincy on Watkins.
Rodgers, who I'd benched, but I'll tell you, but he come on for Jota. That's a bit of jam. Talk about that a minute.
Yeah, but I got some.
And
jam,
Ezri Konsa. I had all three. So in the last 15 minutes of that Villa game, I've got so many points. It's unreal.
Yeah,
like the Watkins captaincy, I was like, phew, thank goodness he's at least got a goal.
Yeah.
Assisted by Rodgers. And then I'm like praying, because Liverpool play at the same time. Then I'm praying Jota's not coming on. And I've seen Slot make a couple of subs by then and they weren't Jota. So I'm like, he's giving him a full rest. Surely he's giving him a full rest.
He's not bringing him on in the 99th.
Surely he's giving him a full rest. And then Rodgers gets another assist and I'm like, he better be giving Jota a full rest because I'm like sitting there, Morgan Rodgers about to get a 10-pointer on my bench.
And then you're having to go at Az for getting Smith Rowe jam.
Az has had Smith Rowe off his bench 2 weeks in a row for a combined 16 points.
I'm walking a marathon and Lee and Az are arguing about Smith Rowe points in my group chat.
No one should let Az tell him that he's got very lucky this week and last week. I talked to him on off the bench last week about how jammy he was with his Smith Rowe 7 off the bench, and he's got Smith Rowe's 9 off the bench this week. He keeps showing no faith in Smith Rowe and keeps getting his points off the bench. But I'm not going to go too heavy on my mate Az because I've been well jammy with Morgan Rodgers off the bench this week. And my boy Ezri Konsa pops up with a goal.
Good goal as well from Konsa.
I'm like, go on, Konsa, brilliant. And I'll tell you what, just briefly, I put a tweet out on Saturday morning about which of these four defenders should I play. And I asked you the same question because I showed my back five. I was like, well, Trent's playing. But who do I play out of Robinson, Greaves, Konsa and Rico Lewis? And I was seriously close. I think Robinson I was always going to because of the assist threat and no Isak. At the time, we thought no Isak. Miraculous recovery. Mm. As
from
usual,
every injury
as usual with Newcastle, you can never trust any bloody injury news. So at the time I'm thinking no Isak, so I'll play Robinson, but I was so close to playing Greaves over Konsa.
I told you to play Konsa.
You did, actually, to be fair. Yeah, you did. As did most of Twitter when I put it on there. So thank you if you tweeted me and said play Konsa, because I did and I got the points. I was happy with that.
I thought you might be hating on me for a while when Wolves were winning 1-0. I thought, if he's played Konsa.
I was struggling. Yeah. But the Villa fixtures continue to look pretty good, though. Now, let's have a look at these fixtures. So, Ipswich, Man United, Fulham and Bournemouth before it gets a little bit trickier against Spurs and Liverpool. So, continue to look good. I bought Watkins in this week on the basis that I wanted him captain this week. And I think the next four look pretty good. So, no worries. Mm. Happy to have him, right? Here, man, Rodgers. I think Rodgers is now absolutely playable. For anybody that is thinking that 10-pointer this weekend has come out of the blue, you ain't been watching him close enough. That 10-pointer is long overdue.
Massively overdue. We should have had a couple of 10-pointers by now.
Long overdue.
Should we talk about our teams? I feel like we've been talking about these games for quite a long time. And I don't really think we need to go into massive detail on Southampton and Ipswich on, or even really Brighton and Forest, really.
Just thinking Fulham 3, Newcastle 1.
Apart from the other thing to say about Brighton is that at the end of the game, it all went off, didn't it?
Did it?
Gibbs White got sent off, and then both the managers got sent off, and it all just went mad for about 5 minutes.
And like you say, keep an eye on that João Pedro.
Keep the eye on João Pedro, because
there is indeed an injury.
It was because it was the tackle that Morgan Gibbs White put in on him that eventually got Gibbs White sent off.
Yeah.
And he limped around for the rest of the game.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep an eye out
keep
for that.
Keep an eye on it.
Right, there's people shouting that I've missed another super chat. I'm just going to quickly go back and see if I've missed another super chat. I don't think I have, to be honest with you. Let's go back. No, and if I have, then it's off the screen. What's that blue one there? Let's have a look. Blue one. Oh, that was Davis family. Right, let's move on, Sam. Let's go to our friends over at Sleeper. This is the screen I want here. So for those of you that have been playing our Sleeper Pick'em League, hope you're enjoying the Pick'em League. We've had already four winners of the $100 Fanatics voucher. So I hope you guys are enjoying those, the winners of those. I actually had a very average week on Sleeper this week.
I'm going to have a look.
Very average week on Pick'em this week. I think I got four or maybe five. So that early season form with me and Wilco potentially having a trip out to Liverpool, it's not looking good for me. I don't know about Wilco, but it's not looking good for me anymore. But if you haven't got Sleeper yet, then here is how you do that. Go and download the Sleeper app. Join our Pick'em League, and the link is in the description below. Predict the scores each game week, completely free to play. No gambling, no crypto, no betting. We never do any of that crap on here. This is just a completely free to play. Download the Sleeper app. Predict the scores each game week. Very, very easy thing to do. Just pick which team or draw. You haven't even got to get the score correct. It's just who's going to win and the draw. So just correctly guess the outcome of the particular games, and you can win. You'll be in a chance to win $100 worth of Fanatics.com vouchers. And if you've not heard of Fanatics, these are the guys behind Kitbag.com and loads of other places where you can buy shirts, footy memorabilia, all that sort of good stuff, right? So easy peasy to play, completely free to play the Sleeper Pick'em League. And this week, Sam, and I just quickly, there's our QR code. I'll give you just a second to scan that with your mobiles if you can do that. There we go. And what we're going to do, Sam, is look at this week's winners. We have got six winners, Sam, so far this week.
The wheel's coming back out, guys.
You know what that means, Sam.
Oh, the wheel's coming back.
You know what that means. There we go. There's my measly four. I got four this week. It's rubbish. What did I actually say?
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of I got four as well. But I guess Liverpool, right? Spurs, right? I guess Palace and Man United would be a draw. And then my other one that I got right, I think, was
I went for the draw City Arsenal. No, I didn't. I went for City to beat Arsenal and they got the draw.
Yeah.
I went for West Ham to beat Chelsea. Couldn't have been more wrong.
I went for
Everton to beat Leicester and it was a draw. I went for Newcastle at Fulham and I went for a draw Spurs Brentford. So there we go.
Predicted Spurs would win. I thought Crystal Palace and Man U would draw, Liverpool would win, and Aston Villa.
So what did you get
win.
This week? How many?
Four.
Blimey,
we're both scraping
the barrel with four, but the following were not scraping the barrel this week. 9 out of 10 correct outcomes for D-Boy Football, Swampy 1977, IJ Aspley, Danats, Youngie 23, and Goal Getters all getting 9 out of 10. Sam, you know what that means.
Oh, no.
That means the Wheel of Destiny is coming out.
Just be warned, there will be noises.
There will be noises, podcasters. This is the most visual part of FPL Family. The podcasters are like, get the hell on with it. We don't care about this bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to spin the wheel, Sam, and we're going to see who wins. And as usual, we can't hear the little noises in the background, but I'm reliably informed that there will be some noises. And the winner is Danuts. Congratulations, Danuts. Hopefully there's some clapping in the background now on the live stream. You are the winner of the Match Week 5 $100 Fanatics voucher on the FPL Family Pick'em League, courtesy of our friends at Sleeper Footy app. So guys,
keep an eye on your Sleeper app, because Ed will be in your DMs in there.
We will send you, will send you from the FPL Family team a DM over on Sleeper, Danuts, and we will get you your $100 voucher.
Whoop, whoop, well done.
There we go. Done up.
Don't winner. Forget.
With 9 out of 10 correct. I love that.
The more you very, get very right good. Now, the more chance you've got of winning those hospitality tickets for the season
absolutely.
As a whole.
Absolutely. Get involved. Get involved. Lots of love in the chat for the wheel. Malachi Fox, the wheel returns. Oh, people loving the reel. Top tier production, AB is saying.
See?
You know it.
When I said to you that everyone wants you, to know it. Draw it properly, and then you've gone to this effort. We've even got our faces in the middle of the wheel. We're not really sure why.
That's unreal,
but we have. Lee's gone all out on the wheel.
Absolutely all out. Right, let's get on with our teams. Sam, this is me. That should have been a transition there, but it just jumped onto the screen. The transition's not working. Oh, here we go. Look at this transit. Look at this. For the podcasters, this makes no difference. But the YouTube user experience is unbelievable. AB has nailed it there. Top tier production. Top tier production with our crap transitions. Even though the transitions and the wheel are complete and utter guff, my team this week, not complete and utter guff. Not bad at all. 73.
Nice.
You'll be... There is my jammy 10 points from Rogers off the bench. Very jammy. Thank you, Diogo, for having a full rest. And sorry, Morgan, for ever disbelieving in you, because you are the difference, Morgan Rogers, between me having an average game week and a decent one. 73. 346 points in total. It's the Villa boys that have done the business. The last 15 minutes of that Villa game have made or broken, and in this case, made my game week. Consa, Rogers and Watkins coming in with a combined, what's that, 19, 21, 31 points from Aston Villa. Super.
It's nearly half the score.
Nearly half the score. The overall rank's now up inside the top million, so I'll take it, 937K. I can start saying K rather than million, which is good for now anyway. Up 38%. Decent. And having played the wild card a couple of weeks ago, I played the wild card with this game week 6 fixture swing in mind. So I'm already on my Arsenal assets. I'm already ahead of the curve with Mbeumo. And it's good that I'm already ahead of the curve, because I now don't have any transfers. I had 2 free transfers coming into this game week, and I did Palmer out and Wijo out, which when Palmer scored was not looking too great. But the transfers in were Watkins and Mbeumo. So they've both come in for me. So
and
I'm
Mbeumo,
happy with that.
He scored for you within 24 seconds. So you were sort of over the Palmer thing straight away.
For sure. And that game, in fact, was what I was not, you know, if it was a bonus, whatever he got at Spurs, right? From now on, now is when I want my Mbeumo points. Mm. And like I said, captaincy for next week.
And he
definitely
doesn't,
a consideration.
Importantly, have a fixture in midweek because
correct.
They played their League Cup last week.
Correct. Yes. So yeah, decent, right? And Haaland coming in with the 9, which is nice, although I think his overall ownership, his effective ownership near me was actually more like 120, so I want him to be quiet, actually, if anything. Raya, even though he conceded 2 goals, in with the 4, because he's just an absolute machine, and I think he is now the goalkeeper to go to. I think that's quite clear. Eze could have had more than the 3, you know, missed, I think had high XG in that game, should have scored at least 1, in my opinion. And João Pedro now probably the only one that I'm looking at going, well, looks a bit iffy. It looks a bit iffy. But overall, I'm happy with my squad. I think I've got a pretty reasonable looking squad there. Transfers for next week. I am going to really try not to spend one next week, because I've only got 1 now going into game week 6. But I've got my Arsenal in place. The one I really want is Gabriel. I really want Gabriel. I just think he looks so good.
I know
I did, but that was for good reason at the time. It's to get Trent, wasn't it? So,
what, would you sell Trent to get him back?
No. Trent's going nowhere, obviously. But I've got to get up from one of my 4-5s, and if I had to choose, it'd probably be Robinson.
From a 4-5, how much you got in the bank?
Well, nothing. So that's why I want to save a transfer. I'm accepting that I'm not going to have Gabriel next week. That's fine. I've got some Arsenal coverage with Raya anyway, and I've got Masaka in place anyway. So I've just got to hope for, you know, that set piece threat to not show itself again next week, and then I've got to think about getting him over the next couple of weeks, right? Because he is going to come in at some stage. He's too much of a weapon from set pieces not to have him. And if you're wildcarding this week, I think you absolutely do. The one for me, I've got to keep an eye on João Pedro in this injury, right? I hope he's not going to become one of these players that's just
constantly
in and out all the time and being like a pain in the ass, because that is going to be difficult to manage. But overall, happy with the team inside the top million. Up 38%, we move, 73 points. 72 for you this week, and again, 34% green arrow, so not too shabby.
No, I was really happy, actually, with my game week this week. Everybody...
Very good.
Everybody doing bits, really. I also got lucky with my Jota not coming off not coming on thing, because I got the best assist of the season so far.
Do not get me started on that assist.
With Muniz.
Do not get me started on that.
Brilliant assist. Absolutely deserved all the points.
It's actually worse than the Ollie Watkins one the other week. Just deflects off his arse. It's not an assist.
I mean, does he touch it?
Don't start with me on this, because you know I'm getting upset about the Muniz assist. That is not an assist.
You, and this is the thing that...
He doesn't even stick his arse out, so he means to hit it. The bloody... Is it Guimaraes or who is it at the back there? Just hits it at his bottom and it deflects into the path of whoever it was that scored the goal. It's not an assist. I cannot believe it. But well done. You get it off the bench.
But I got his nice points off the bench, so that was lovely, because actually there was a very big part of me last week that I very nearly took a -4 this week to deal with him. And in the end, I was glad I didn't, because I didn't really know where I was going to go. I quite fancied Delap, but also I really fancied Solanke, but I didn't want to go Solanke just yet because I wasn't sure if it was just me being Spurs bias or what it was. But anyway.
Henderson 9 is the difference maker here, isn't it? That's huge.
It was very nice. Henderson 9. Henderson 9 was nice.
Take it all
Smith
day
Rowe,
long.
Who I played, and I didn't bench him as. I played him for the last 2 weeks. He was a nice option. Ollie Watkins, I was worried about that captaincy for quite a long time in that game. And then obviously by the end, it was fine. But look, it feels like a nice game week this week.
Yeah,
like,
good
even
week.
Last week, like I had a slight red arrow, but it didn't feel terrible. But this week, I always felt like it was proving nice. And when I saw that Hendo clean sheet was in, I was like, okay, this feels
Take
like
it.
It's going to be good. And obviously Saka continuing in his point scoring in every game so far.
Thoughts on next week? How many transfers are you holding right now?
I only ever seem to have one. because I like to... I'm enjoying moving players around this season. Like, I'm just enjoying...
Yeah.
And because I haven't wildcarded yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I look at my team and I don't think my team's that far away from what most people are trying to wildcard to be fair.
Do you ever think you'll get to 5 transfers in a bank?
Yes. But because I think it's...
I don't think I'll ever get there.
I think I will have it when I... Because I'm going to wildcard so much later than everyone else that there's going to be a point of time then where, in theory, I should be able to save them. But anyway, we'll see.
I don't see me ever getting to 5, I'll be honest.
Well, I think I probably will. But at the moment, I'm too transfer happy all the time. My transfer thoughts, I don't know yet. I quite like the idea of having Mbeumo, as we all know, because everyone does. But I also had earmarked the money that's left in the bank to get Raya. But I also want to use some of it to upgrade Muniz to Solanke.
Ooh, there's a lot you want to do.
And I also want to use some of it. But so that would mean I couldn't use the rest of it to get Mbeumo from Smith Rowe. I'd have to go Jota to Mbeumo.
Oh, God. It's an easy wildcard.
What, for 3 transfers?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Solanke, Raya, and Mbeumo. That's significant upgrades.
Or just take a hit.
I think you got the wildcard sitting there. That's wildcard, isn't it? No.
No. You're such an idiot sometimes. Wildcard, you've got to make at least 4, 5, 6 changes. I mean, I would change barcode at the same time.
Can't you?
I don't want a wildcard.
All right.
We've got League Cup fixtures in the week. I'm going off to a match. I don't want to be worrying about wildcarding.
Okay, sure. Yeah, if something happens in the Carabao Cup, you know how the wildcard works, right? If you play at the beginning of the week, you can still make transfers.
But I don't want a wildcard.
Okay. A lot you want to do there, that's all I'm saying.
But I don't want to do them all this week. They're all just potential moves.
Okay.
You asked me what I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking.
So Mbeumo is the one, is he, this week?
Maybe Solanke is the one instead. Maybe Raya is the one instead. I think Raya... The Hendo to Raya thing is probably on ice because Hendo's got Everton next week, so he can have one more week after his 9-pointer. I feel like I deserve to give him another
he's
week.
He's earned a week.
He's earned a stay. So then the question is, do I want to sell Jota? And the answer is no, I do not want to sell Jota.
Yeah.
So what might be a better option this week is to do Muniz to Solanke.
Muniz to Solanke. Muniz... Despite the assist off the backside.
Well, he's not starting games anymore, so he's a problem.
Priority sell. What do you think of Jimenez?
Yeah, I don't mind Jimenez, but...
Cheap, isn't he?
But I've got Smith Rowe already. Don't really want to keep...
Yeah.
I'll be back to trebled up. I'm still trebled up on Fulham. I've been trebled up on Fulham this whole time.
Impressed with Jimenez. I just wonder whether we're going to get the Jimenez of old. I don't know. There was a good... He and Adam have always had that good understanding. I don't know. Maybe. One to watch. So anyway, good week. 72 points. Overall rank, if we're still counting those, up to 1.2. Yeah, nice, big, healthy green arrow. Liking it. Like, you still got Barco. I'll be able to deal with that as well. It's definitely wildcardable. Definitely. Quick shout out to all of our patrons. Many of you in this evening.
Patreon.com. I'm so tired. The last thing I need is your nonsense.
/FPL family. Yeah, if you want some more Elite and Sam in your lives, if you want access to our Slack chat community, if you want to get involved with our Manager of the Month competition, where every month we give away a football shirt to the three top managers of the month, if you want one-to-one Zoom calls with us, if you want bonus podcasts throughout the week, there is so much more FPL family you can have. So much more fun over on patreon.com/FPL family. Come and join the family, either $3, $5, or the $10 tier. All the links that you will need to come and join us over there are in the description below. Sam, let everybody know what is coming up this week, please.
What even day is it tomorrow?
A good night's sleep is what's coming up for you in about 10 minutes time.
I've got the day off work tomorrow and I can't.
Did you book tomorrow off work? That's a touch. Well played. Well played. I think that's a good idea.
Do not wake me up to do a school run. It's your problem.
Great, thank you. I don't see it as a problem. I love taking my kids to school, but yeah, okay.
But tomorrow, please don't wake me up. Just leave me be. Looking peaceful and asleep. What is going on this week, you ask? We've got Sky on Saturday morning. That'll be nice. We've not been down to the Sky Studios together for a little while. So Sky Studios are on Saturday morning. If you can watch Sky Sports News, that's at 10:30. Obviously, the FPL Pod will be back. Jules and Kelly and I think that's on Thursday this week.
Good.
And Az and I will be back with the Q&A. I think we'll be back in our normal slot at 4 o'clock. It is a little bit of a quieter week this week, which... I'll be honest.
You wouldn't mind that, would you?
No, I think that's probably for the best with me. I'm going up to watch Manchester City, though, on Tuesday night. So I'll report back on them and their League Cup exploits.
So you are. In our own Harlequin podcast. Quiet week, Sam. The perfect week to hit the wild card.
I'm not wild carding. What's the matter with you? Why do you want me to wild card so bad?
I'm worried about you. You're only about 5 points behind. I can't seem to eke out a lead over you.
And I've not used a chip yet.
I appreciate that. That's why I'm trying to get you to play one.
Oh, you're trying to sabotage me.
I'm worried about you, Sam. I'm worried that you're going to overtake me.
Ooh.
Not really.
I'd like you to know that I'm going to overtake you regardless of whether I'm wild card or not.
Are you going to captain next week?
That is a good question.
Early thoughts?
Haaland.
Boring.
Yeah.
And Mbeumo for me.
I can't wait to go ahead of you.
Guys, on that note, we will leave it there. Thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. Thanks for putting up with all the bloody bugs and stuff we've had in here. It is now hotter than a sauna in this room because I've not been able to have any windows or doors open. So I'm now going to go and de-sweat outside.
Don't be disgusting. No one wants to know
about it. It's so hot in this room now. It's ridiculous. Look at my stupid shiny head. Look at it. It's ridiculous. Thank you for joining us tonight. Leave us a like before you go. If you're new around here, hit the subscribe button and we will see you this time next week with all of the daddy long legs in the room.
They will not be.
Cheers, guys. See you later.
Bye, everybody.